Things are going to start happening to me now.
You've done all the reading. You're a scholar. You're a professor. You've done all the reading. You've done the intellectual heavy lifting.
Or less, eat shit and die.
You wouldn't know a fact if it begged you all night long.
Want to, like, give the wrong impression, because I am very high.
F***ing right up behind him with a hatchet. Smash, smash, smash.
Yeah. Care. I'm a libertarian. What I'm getting is,
did you vote for Joe Jorgensen or Trump?
Who?
Joe Jorgensen. That was the perfect answer. Thank you. That was...
Welcome, everybody. Libertarian Podcast Review. Tyler Yonke, Stank Neck, Andy. Can you hear that song? Okay. This is.
Yeah.
Okay. New Radicals. I'm not really particular on the song, but. The great Dennis Miller, when he had a show, this was his intro. So I thought, I heard it the other day. I'm like, we're going to bring that in.
Yeah. I'm vibing to this.
Okay. By the way, people, we're on Spaces as well. I don't know why, but why not diversify? We want to show that Tower Gang has nothing on us.
We taught them everything they know.
Right. We did, actually. So welcome. How you doing, Andy?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Fine. I don't know about the phone there. You might want to make sure it's...
Throw it. Yeah. Phone's away.
Oh, you didn't have to throw it away.
Can you still hear it?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, it's fine. I could.
You know what? I'm just going to leave the spaces. I'll come in after the show.
You could do that as well. Okay, so what are we doing here today? I thought we would go over, do one of these watch-alongs with Angela McArdle, with Joe Walsh. Have you... Okay, Andy's taken off. He's in front of the plantation. By the way, while we're doing that, I'm going to let's sell some goods. We have an ad, Andy, and I might just mute you on this again. Fox and Sons, use review as the code for 50% off orders of $25 or more. I am using this coffee, Andy. I love it. I just ordered some more. He's sending me some more. We're gonna do a giveaway at some point. I keep saying that. I don't know if we really are. Do you like coffee? And would you use Fox and Sons, Andy? Do I need to send you a bag?
Oh, I am the biggest coffee drinker you know. I have to have at least 3 cups every morning before I get out of bed. And I would love to, I'd love to try these sweet beans, taste them in my mouth, put your hot bag in my mouth. What are we thinking? What's your favorite blend so far?
My favorite blend, Minder, we are live. My favorite blend it's called the Brazil Honey Prep in here. I'm not sure about the name, but it's one of my favorites. It's got a nice little flavor to it, and it grinds just like you, Andy, it grinds great.
Not to be confused with Brazil nuts, huh?
Right. My mom and dad both have fantastic names for those.
Cheers, everybody out there. We're drinking good cheers. Stuff tonight.
Cheers. What's mine? Mine's called Device. It's made in, it says made in Sac. I don't know if that's, I think it's Sacramento. But anyway, let's remove that off the screen and then let's get to it. So did you watch this, this interview?
Fox and Sons copy. And no, yeah. I didn't. No, I haven't watched it.
Okay. Well, we are going to check this out. There's a lot of fun things with it. I'm glad that you haven't seen it yet. We'll take a look. How's the space is going? You've left it. We've got one person there. Hopefully that's good. I don't know why are we doing.
Unfortunately, if I join Spaces, it won't let me turn my phone volume all the way down.
Interesting. You can't mute it. What kind of phone do you have? Do you have one of those Chinese things like Cole?
No.
Patriot phone.
So if I join the Spaces as a if I'm just a listener, I can turn it all the way down. But if I join as a speaker, then it has to have at least like one bar of volume up. I don't know why, but
interesting. Okay. I usually use my iPhone as my camera. So now I have to use it here cause it's connected through my Rodecaster Pro. So my camera is a little different today. I know you're going to be disappointed. You can't, the other one has such features. It shows all my problems. So,
well, unfortunately it doesn't show that you've grown a mustache. So you're lacking.
I'm not going to grow a mustache.
I went out and bought a webcam when you told me we were going to start doing this. So mine's
going to. Oh, did you really?
On. Yeah.
Okay. So, did you get it, write it off for your OnlyFans, business or?
something like that, I think. I hand all that stuff to my accountant.
Did you, it looks like you have a special light there as well. Did you get one of those ring lights? What's going on?
It's on the webcam. It's a fancy, okay. It's a decent little webcam.
Nice.
Okay. $40, Best Buy.
Good job. I have a webcam. It's just, I don't know, I'm not a big fan of this one. Okay, why don't we get into it? I know you're excited, as we all are. Whoops, where'd Andy go? There's Andy. So this, is
Angela McCardle and Joe Walsh. And yeah. Angela is the chairwoman of the LP.
Yes, good point. Did you see Minder here? He said he missed your gay face.
And don't we all?
Okay. So he starts out by selling ice cream. I don't know if we need to go over this or sweet pea something. Frozen. It's a creamy frozen dessert.
Oh, that's what I text you about. Yeah, he's putting his peas in your mouth.
Okay, that I did not get. Okay, so we're going to watch this hopefully the whole way through. We're going to have to do 1.25 because. So I'd like always, Andy, give me, if you need to stop for anything, let me know. And hopefully our listeners are going to enjoy this.
Angela is a new mother, right? Correct?
Right. And evidently there's some sort of controversy with her and her hiring her husband. I don't really care about all this stuff.
And Joe Walsh is how would you describe Joe Walsh?
Okay, so Eagles were a band. He played, I think, lead guitar for them for many years. He was also on Drew Carey's show for a while, and now evidently he is running a podcast.
This is the same Joe Walsh from the Eagles?
It's, by the way, it's just Eagles. It's not the. Yeah.
It's the same guy, though? It's just not a different guy with the same name?
It's a different guy with the same name. Come on. This is...
I didn't know. Man, I don't know shit about this guy. That's why I'm trying to have you set it up.
It would be better if it was, because Joe Walsh, the rocker, probably, you know, he's a little bit, he's had some issues with drugs. So let me look at this one. What's this one? Called the White Fag Podcast.
And so this Joe Walsh that we're about to watch, who is he?
Okay, I'm Googling it up here. It says Joe Walsh is a former U.S. congressman, a former presidential candidate, a radio host, that Toad is too, so a radio host, and a man whose personal mission is to listen. Are you kidding me? This is a summarizer. He hosts the White, it says flag. I think that's a misspelling with the L in there. And Joe Walsh podcast, where he talks with notable people with differing viewpoints to find compromise and a better America. This podcast... is available on various. Okay, there it is. So he was a former U.S. congressman. So there you go.
Does it say what state or?
I don't know. I laughed at the OnlyFans. No, it was, okay. I hate him already. I'm out. Okay, there you go. Thanks, guys. Let's take a look and see if we can find out where he was. I don't know. He's just pushing his podcast. Why don't we start in it on that? You ready to go? Yeah. Here we go.
Yeah.
Many of us talk to and engage with people who just think like us, and I think that's really boring. My guest today is Angela McCardle. She's the chairwoman of the National Libertarian Party. I want to applaud her. She's also a two-time congressional candidate. I applaud anybody who runs for office.
Okay, let's stop right there. What do you think about that comment?
You know how I feel about getting on your knees and groveling for women? Don't do it.
I thought that was an interesting comment to begin with, because I don't believe that at all. And that's where he's coming from, right? The nature of the state, and you should be applauded for doing this kind of stuff, which is just humorous to me. And it's a joke, because look at all the people that are out there.
Respect the office, all that shit, even though she never had held office. But this is somebody who...
No, she just ran. So here's the question for him, I guess you should start with. David Duke ran for office. Does he deserve respect in Joe Walsh's mind?
He deserves respect in my mind.
Okay, let's go.
But he's being a host. He's heaping praise.
Okay, don't derail me here.
Let me kind of lay the context, and then we can get right into it. And thank you for being here, because I think generally you and I probably agree on a lot of issues, and we probably disagree on a number of issues too. I think maybe a few weeks ago I tweeted something about Ukraine or woke, and you took a good respectful shot at me. And we probably clearly disagree on Ukraine, but I don't.
You should call him gay.
I want to get into that. What I want to do is get into the Libertarian Party and let give you an opportunity to talk about where you think it's at right now, because
sure,
I think I have a problem with where it's at, but I want to hear and see if I can better understand. I'll start with just the 22nd history. You're the chair of the party as of May of 22, correct?
That's correct.
And the Mises Caucus took full control of the Libertarian Party back in May of 22. And the diplomatic way, I guess, and correct me, Angel, if you disagree, of putting this is, there's, I don't want to say a schism, but there's disagreement in the Libertarian Party about the Mises Caucus now running it as opposed to the regimes who ran it before. To jumpstart our conversation, I've got my take on what I think the Mises Caucus is, but I want to start with you because I want you to start things here. The Mises Caucus now controls the Libertarian Party. Describe the Mises Caucus to me.
Sure. The Mises Caucus is a group of individuals who essentially got together to bring the Ron Paul revolution energy funneled into the Libertarian Party. Ron Paul ran in 2008 and 2012 for president. He didn't get the nomination. There was a lot of disillusionment afterwards, and his momentum went into a handful of small organizations, yeah. Youth organizations, so on and so forth, super PACs, and it just didn't coalesce, really. And so we really wanted to be a landing pad and a home for the people who love Ron Paul and who are really passionate about individualism and liberty, but had not yet joined the Libertarian Party.
Okay, and I appreciate that view. And by the way, I served with Ron Paul, and I love the guy. We disagree on a couple of key issues, but I love the guy.
I like freedom. He's taking notes, Andy. Do you think that's something we should employ when we have interviews?
Absolutely not. If you have me take notes, I'll fucking fine you. But Angela McArdle's skin looks great so far through the interview.
What if it came out that thing behind her is some sort of a literal dog whistle? It's got dogs in it, of some sort of satanic Christmas ornament thing. I don't know. What do you think of that? Well,
she is a Californian, right? So
she doesn't. Not anymore.
Where is she at now?
I want to say Missouri or something. Doesn't matter.
But she's from California, right?
She was here for quite some time. Yes.
Well, in my mind, I just picture her as a California girl. So this, if it is a satanic dog whistle, it wouldn't be out of the realm of expectations for me.
Okay.
And I loved serving with him and getting to know him. My take on the Mises Caucus, which has propelled me to want to have a conversation with you, is it strikes me as kind of an alt-right thing. And it's no different to me than kind of the alt-right thing that has taken over my former party, the Republican Party. It seems really far right to me, nationalistic, white nationalistic, anti-immigrant, anti-LGBTQ.
Hell yeah.
It seems to oppose
liberal democracy. He's making the Mises Caucus sound way cooler.
So I want to get into some of that.
Right. So I think he's calling it alt-right, basically.
Yeah, he's making it sound way cooler than it actually is, unfortunately.
Right. Let's do it.
Because clearly we disagree. Explain this. And what I'm going to do, Angela, is this has been interesting for me because I've actually done my best to try to look at some of the things that you all have done in the almost year and a half,
year and a half
have been in control. When the Mises Caucus, and I want you to have an opportunity
there we
to
go.
Respond.
Austin, Texas.
When you all took over the Libertarian Party, first things you did was remove the phrase, "We condemn bigotry as irrational and repugnant," from the Libertarian platform. Why'd you do that?
By the way, our friend DL, he did a breakdown after the convention. Remember, there was that stupid podcast that took on, it was a Joe Bishop henchman and Andy Craig, and I did a thing as well. DL did a great job, and then I did an even better job.
DL Cunningham, the racially ambiguous dad.
Yes, good guy. I met him. I've been on his podcast. I like him. I think he's a good racist. No, I mean he's a good guy.
He seems like a nice guy. I've got a bone to pick with him on some of the just Christian bashing for no reason. But beyond that, he seems like a fairly nice guy.
But here's what I like about him is I'm sure you can have a conversation with him about it and you're going to be fine. And I think I had some conversations with him about religion when I was on there. I think his wife is religious, but I don't know if he necessarily is. So fine. That's perfectly fine. Anyway, good guy. The point is, they love this. I talked about this phrase in this platform, this plank 3.5. And that if you got to remove it, because they use it, they being the Sarwaks and those guys, they use it as a cudgel. They use it as a hammer against you. If you don't agree with everything they do, now you're repugnant and whatnot. And so they're using it like that. So I had no problems removing it.
Wasn't there also a pledge that went with this that they wanted people to sign?
I think there was an act you had to perform.
Yeah.
No, but you're right. That was different. That was a different one. But yeah, that was the one that Tom Woods got into. Okay, let's keep going.
Ooh, Reason Magazine had an interview with me that went viral with the people who disagree with us on this topic. What is a bigot? The textbook, like, dictionary definition is super vague. It's someone who just doesn't like something, essentially. It's not even regarding sexual orientation, any of the classic discrimination things, race. It's if you're intolerant of something. But what it's evolved to mean is that it's a slur, you know, a cheap shot at anyone who expresses a view that's not popular regarding the current thing. That's how we view it.
That's how you and the rest of the Mises Caucus view it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That's how we view it. That if you didn't agree with every mainstream talking point on transgender rights, on the whole LGBT narrative, on some of the BLM stuff, that you're a bigot. And it's become, identity politics have become extremely exhausting. In the LPMC, the Mises Caucus, we don't believe they advance individual rights. We think they destroy natural hierarchies and the family unit, and that they pit good people against
one another.
Do you
believe bigotry is bad? Just generally.
Are you bigoted? Well, I mean, it depends, right? Like, I'm pretty, like, actually, are you bigoted against communists? I mean,
well,
it's...
Bigoted against racist, against bigoted against anybody because of their skin color or their sexual orientation.
Sure. I don't think that stuff is good for us. I don't think that anybody should discriminate against someone else based on their skin color.
When, and I think it was, what's his name? Nick Lepsby with Reason Magazine asked you after you became chair. I think he asked you directly, are racists and bigots welcome in the Libertarian Party? And you said yes.
I think our answer was, Andy's here.
No, I'm not. I'm not an LP member. Don't put that on me.
She lost me, said Magoo. Well, just hang on. We're all going to lose you here in a bit. By the way, hi, Magoo.
I don't think that they could be. Welcome is maybe not the right term. Welcome means we're like excited for them to join, and that's not the case. But there's no purity test, right? To like fill out the form online and join the party. There's nothing about being a racist. There's no sniff test. What does that even mean at this
stage?
Would
you welcome racists in the Libertarian Party?
No. And there have been a handful of circumstances, not a lot, thankfully, but a handful of circumstances where we have had really racist members. They end up not getting officially removed, but sort of like being run out, made to feel unwelcome, or just largely ignored. Like, if you don't have common decency and manners and, like basic human interaction skills in the majority of the Libertarian Party, you just don't go very far with those things.
Would it be fair to say that you, as the chair of the party, would say racist and bigots, though I, we'll quibble over the term bigot, but racists are not welcome in the Libertarian Party?
Yeah.
Like, you would say that forcefully.
Sure.
Have you said
that?
Totally
reasonable.
Have you said that forcefully?
Yeah, absolutely. Plenty of times.
And I don't want to get into, you and I talked, I don't want to get into the weeds.
Pause it real quick. So this is like the beginning of like a straight up communist struggle session here, and she's going along with it, and it disappoints me so far.
Yeah, I mean, look, she breaks it down later. She is, you've got to think in political terms, which we don't always do, which is she is the head of a party that's pretty vast in diversity as far as thought goes. So to some extent, she has to play some games, I would imagine. And you can't be Andy unless you're the head of the KKK, okay? It's not going to play well. So there you go.
I understand all these people are totally democracy brained and they're trying to have mass appeal, but I think fucking putting your nuts on the table and just not giving these people what they want is the most appeal.
Daniel, who by the way I met in Reno, super nice guy, I said, I already watched this interview, it hurts to watch it again, so dumb. Yeah, but hang on, this is good. This is a different one. This is a Mystery Science Theater 3000 or whatever version.
And some of your state affiliates, but clearly the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire.
1488,000.
I think just any knucklehead could go through their Twitter feed, their social media feed, and see that they put out a bunch of racist, bigoted, ugly, mean, cruel bullshit.
Is he talking about the LPNH? Now, I think you can... I don't believe that's correct. It's on first glance, you think that, and then you break it down, and I don't think that's necessarily the case.
I don't think LPNH is racist enough.
Okay. They do that. They're not the only state. Why do we have Andy does that? has National ever condemned the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire for the racist, even sometimes white nationalist stuff they put up?
Publicly? So let's break some of this down. I don't think that it's going to be beneficial at all for me to put out virtue signaling to condemn them. And there's a lot of disagreement about this, and I understand it. But the issue is that the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire, they are going to do what they do, and they have complete control to do what they're going to do. I don't have influence over them to have them not do it. And they did release a video recently, maybe not, in response to my statement saying, you know, like, I didn't appreciate them quoting 14 words, you know, saying they're going to double down. So the deeper I dig into that, and the more I give them attention and engage and, you know, breathe into a paper bag and hyperventilate over it, the worse they will get. And I have to make a judgment call on that.
Don't you think it would be smart to publicly condemn any state affiliate, even if you have no control over them, when they put out racist, white supremacist stuff as a Libertarian Party?
So
this is my problem with that podcast that I talked about, too, is white supremacists. You know, their examples were Dave Smith. And then their other example was an article that was on the Mises Caucus website about World War II and immigration. And by the way, I talked to Thaddeus Russell about this, and you tie that in with an interview that Nick Gillespie did with, I'm trying to remember the guy, he does all these documentaries. He did the Vietnam documentary, and they talked about Germany wasn't allowing, and the U.S., I'm sorry, U.S. wasn't allowing enough immigration in at the time for Jews that were being displaced, and therefore Hitler was, we're kind of responsible because we wouldn't take them. It's kind of that premise. That's what the article said. Nick Gillespie actually agreed in a same way on this documentary, and then they tried to use it as their white nationalists. So anyway, he has no proof of white nationalism. I don't know what my point was.
Roosevelt turning back the Jews, Hitler was like, we'll send them your way. And the U.S. said no.
Yeah.
And that was the guy who made the documentary. He makes the JFK documentary, right? Same guy? What's his name?
Ken Burns.
Oh, it's Ken Burns?
Yeah. He and his wife made a documentary about that, along with, you know, the big one, Vietnam and Civil War. They've done a bunch of these. So anyway, that.
I thought it was the other guy that's been on Rogan.
There's been a few on there. If Nick Gillespie ever comes on, which he always promises to do in my DMs, I will bring this up to him. Anyway, let's keep going.
So they contend that it is not racist and white supremacist, that they're satirizing themselves poking fun.
What do you think? What do you think? What does National think? I mean,
oh, it's just, I think it's ugly trolling. And they're very skilled trolls, absolutely, because they get a lot of people upset.
Well, they had a spat with Nina Turner, a former, a black female, former progressive and Ohio State rep. Said Nina Turner picking crops should be free, and just an ugly thing to say. And National weighed in on that, and instead of just slapping him across the face a little bit, that's an ugly racist thing to say.
This guy's so stupid though.
Nina Turner would be so much happier in the fields
for free.
Nina Turner
National didn't even acknowledge that.
Snap.
Like it seemed like you missed an opportunity to go after, whether they're joking or not, trolling or not, overt racism.
Why do you have to do that?
I don't think so. I think I dodged an opportunity for them to make me also look like a fool. I have to be really careful with how I interact with all of my state affiliates on social media, and that would not have gone well for me. They were comparing in a, you know, with a very you know, maybe tone deaf, ugly way of doing it. They were comparing a lot of the comments that she makes about universal health care and saying people should do this and should do that.
Did you find it
with slavery?
Did you find it ugly? Nina Turner picking crops should be free. Did you find that ugly?
It definitely made my it made me cringe a little bit.
Do you think it would help your cause, Libertarian Party National, if you did take a stronger stance against some of what these people put out? New Hampshire or any state? You don't.
I do not. And this is not, Joe, by any means, this is not the first conversation that's been had about it. It's been, you know, a year-long journey.
Respond to some of this stuff. A guy named Roger Roots, you have a literal white supremacist on the on one of your committees on LP National. Is he still on the committee?
Are you sure? Are you sure he's a literal white supremacist?
Is he or is he not?
He is absolutely not.
Well, he just said he was. So why would you backtrack on that, Joe? Bring the evidence and let's go.
This is someone who used to be a white supremacist.
Well,
he's done like a nationwide tour talking about how he came out of it and has helped to convert a lot of people out of racism. And,
when did he write this article, Whites and Blacks, 100 Facts, and he makes his case?
This is so, you have it in front of you. That
blacks are super inferior.
Many years ago.
How many years ago?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
He's not a white supremacist anymore.
Okay. He's really open about that. He's actually a fantastic person to talk to about racism and the recovery from it.
And to the best of your knowledge, Angela, since he wrote this screed, this racist screed, you haven't seen anything in the last however many years that he's written that would give any evidence that he still holds white supremacist views?
No. I would definitely say not. I think he's held in high regard in his state affiliate, and his state affiliate is zero drama. He's an even-keeled guy. He does a lot of really good work in the party.
Is he going to talk about those that have communist leanings? That's curiosity.
Okay, so here's my issue with all this, is that I just want Angela to go balls to the wall and say, who cares? Like, why do you care if some person you don't fucking know is a white supremacist? Like, who fucking cares?
Well, the guy is on LP, so that's what he's saying. And
sure, but still, who cares? The LP is nothing.
Okay. Well, she's the head of it, so you can't, like, Andy, are you a member of any clubs?
No.
Okay. Well, you're a member of this podcast. Are you saying this podcast is nothing? Are you going to go out on a limb and say that?
If somebody was like, hey, you said a racist thing on this podcast, do you think I would apologize for it?
No, you'd say, this podcast is nothing. So I said something on there. It doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's keep going.
There are a number of charges that a number of folks who put a bunch of examples out there. I've seen some of them where there's anti-Semitic stuff that people associated with the Libertarian Party put out. And this whole notion, Angela, of...
Like what?
And maybe you'll laugh at this one. Joking about the 14 words in that frequently cited Nazi slogan.
Wait,
we must secure
it?
The existence of our people and a future for libertarian children.
Okay.
And you responded with kind of a spoofy version of that. We must secure the exhaustion of the national chair and the embarrassment of the entire Libertarian Party. When somebody puts out like a well-known, frequently cited Nazi slogan like that, instead of like joking about it, why wouldn't you just condemn it?
What is the obsession with condemning things? I feel like there is a certain demographic in the country
imagine being married to this guy. It's always like, well, I've got, look, honey, when you swallowed, I really wanted you to spit. Now I've got to condemn you. And by the way, I'm talking about, I heard that from the neighbor that you were blowing. So now I've got to condemn you. Not the fact that you were cucking me out, but that'd be just guys.
Oh, I want to go on record and condemn all of our viewers and you, Tyler, for not growing a mustache in between these last few episodes.
What's your obsession with a mustache?
It would look cool if you had a mustache. Oh, it would
look horrible. It doesn't grow like right here. It's the opposite of the Hitler. But anyway.
Like there's magic words. Condemn, disavow, denounce, and decry.
Well, stop. Okay.
I don't understand.
Let me see if I can explain, and I'll probably do a lousy job. Okay. We condemn things that are bad. I think we should. Like we should condemn racism. Why do it? Because it's bad, it's harmful, it's dangerous. Why condemn anti-Semitism? Because it's bad, it's harmful, it's dangerous. Why wouldn't we condemn anti-Semitism?
Because making a bunch of virtuous statements on social media over and over again doesn't really seem to do anything. It doesn't seem to push the needle in either direction. It just seems to inflame and incense things, especially when the person making those statements, however crude it may be, says over and over again, like, it's just trolling. We're not serious. And when you know the members and you see them face to face, you don't see them engage in racist behavior. It is an online phenomenon.
But you're intelligent. You understand that if anti-Semitism shit is constantly being put out there by people affiliated with the party and the party doesn't condemn it, it's quite natural for people to assume, as many people now do, that the party's got no problem with anti-Semitism. To me, that seems perfectly fair if it's not condemned. No?
Well, didn't I
mean, this goes to the Tom Woods reaction, which is there anything in our platform that says we're for it? And if not, why you're going to condemn every little thing that happens all the time. And by the way, he's basically saying there's only one viewpoint that's okay, right? It's a narrow viewpoint that only we can have this. Anything outside of that, it's not okay. And so we'll listen to him later on in this, where then he maybe says, why are you not more open to other viewpoints?
Why don't you just keep, move a little left. Move, no, further left. No, further. Come right. Over here.
I make a long statement about how frustrated I was by it. Did you catch that?
I did, but again, okay. Respectfully, frustrated, like bullshit. This is wrong. Oh, we want right. Nothing fucking, pardon my language, but I got a potty mouth. We want nothing to do. The Libertarian Party wants nothing to do with anti-Semitism.
I don't want.
Especially with the litany of examples that I'm holding in my hand. Would at least help?
Thank you.
No, I do not think that me wading into it and publicly fighting with a state affiliate.
I'm not anything. Even just talking, Angela, about a state affiliate. When people associated with LP National, when
I've put out statements though, and even the SPLC has quoted me pushing back against racism. I have put out statements. What I'm not interested in doing is putting out statements over and over and over again. I think it's exhausting, and I'd rather just put out, you know, statements like I did today about the Trump indictments, you know, current events, things that are going on, be like forward facing.
Dance for them shekels, Angela.
Not constantly playing defense to LPNH or whoever else, you know, steps in it.
And I hear that, and I get that, but you're the chairperson of a political party, and that political party right now, people could make a strong case, and we don't have time because I want to go over a bunch of stuff, that LP National embraces anti-Semitism. And I understand why you do what you do, but if you don't condemn it, you're going to get tagged with it. And you have.
And I've been tagged with it regardless. And the tags have come before LPNH exists, and they always will. Because when someone represents a threat to the two-party system, they're going to get hit with all kinds of crap. And that's just part of the cross that I have to bear.
Well,
and some of it I just
right,
have
and
to
And I'm not just referring to you.
Deal.
The party is going to, if the party Certainly. Doesn't condemn anti-Semitism, and in fact, when there are multiple examples of the party kind of cuddling up to anti-Semitism, the party's going to, people are going to think the party embraces anti-Semitism. You were on a podcast.
That is insane. If
Do you know
don't,
who the party is named after?
Mr. Rothbard.
Well, Mises was a Jew himself too.
I know, but it's difficult. So if, in other words, you can have a platform of what you stand for, and then if you don't push back against everything you don't agree with, that means you stand for that. That is the most insane thing I've heard.
If you don't agree with every leftist position, we're going to smear you. Go on.
Okay.
A year ago.
Good point.
And I listened to it, and I just didn't understand it. You promoted this thing called German New Medicine, which is a weird anti-Semitic conspiracy that says traditional medicine is a Jewish conspiracy to decimate non-Jews. Like, why would,
not even
why
true.
Would
I just completely reject the premise of your comment. I think that what happened is you read something about German new medicine.
No. I listened to you with it. I listened to your 45-second clip with Tim Pool.
Okay,
so 45-second clip with Tim Pool, and somehow it came out as anti-Semitism?
Well, here's what you did. You referenced it. You said, Tim, I forget the context.
GNM.
Tim, you ought to check out German new medicine, and it'll help you understand what's going on here. And when you check German new medicine, it's an ugly anti-Semitic conspiracy about what Jews are doing to non-Jews.
Where? Wikipedia?
I don't have it right in front of me, but in a number of
How does he not have it in front of you?
Here's my evidence that you're anti-Semitic. I'm calling you anti-Semitic. I rest my case, Your Honor.
What's that website? Storm something?
Stormfront. Let's go.
That he's like, I mean, you could just say this is where I found it. And because you obviously know it, so you heard 45 minutes. This is just pathetic. I know.
Why are you hanging out on anti-Semitic websites, Joe?
Right. I mean, two things can be true, right? Which is maybe that's there's some science. And by the way, it sounds really bad when you say German medicine, right? German new medicine. I mean, that's Nazi. That's Nazi for you. So
I wish.
Shit. I don't accept it. I'm quite the expert on
Angela, when you referenced German new medicine on that podcast, you had no idea what it was, or you had no idea that it was a well-known anti-Semitic conspiracy.
Once again, he says well-known, and he won't tell her where he's found this.
Is how well-known is it? Because no one else seems to know this except for the people who have a strong dislike of me.
I had a number of people reference this to me. Not just, and then I looked it up because I'd never heard of it. And when you look it up.
Where'd you look it up?
Yeah, it's got, I Googled it. And
where are you looking it up?
I Googled it and looked at a couple sites, and then every single site referenced this fact that it was an anti-Semitic conspiracy. And you knew none of that.
That seems like a serious.
I Googled one right now. I've never heard of this, so I've just Googled it. Dr. Brooke Stewart, holistic counseling, functional medicine. What is new German? It was one of the top ones on the search. You can control F, Jew, Semitic, kike, nose. None of these are bringing up anything fun. Let me see. Gas, shame. Nope. Nothing there.
Click the I'm feeling lucky when you Google. See what happens.
I use Brave browser, so there's no luck involved in there. It's just all pure.
I don't know, and especially that you would just go with like a mainstream. What is it then?
Why did you bring that up to Tim Pool? What did you think it was?
We were talking about germ theory.
German new medicine. What is German new medicine? What is German new medicine?
German new medicine is a different view on germ theory. It doesn't have anything to do with Jews.
What is the view?
Do we want to talk science and health right now?
No, I want to know what you think the view is. What is the view of German?
The view of German new medicine is that disease and illness are not caused in the traditional manner of transmissible illness.
What's it caused by?
It talks about stress, degradation to your body, issues with your brainstem. It's basically about trauma in the body causing chronic illness.
And if you, Angela, if...
Can you tie that into being anti-Semitic, Andy? Ready, go.
What's the thing, what do they call it? Epigenetics? You have historical trauma in your genes or whatever that some quacks believe in. So yeah, maybe some of the new Holocaust survivors that keep coming out every year, their health problems are related to, you know, their past, their ancestors' trauma.
I have a lot of stress due to finances because the Jews control the banks. Did I do it? Did I make it? Maybe not. I'm doing fine financially, by the way.
You knew
let's go.
That White it was back. An anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. You'd have a problem with that.
No one under spaces.
Sure.
Okay. Oh no, I won't go there yet. What?
Oh.
Wait. Well, how many things are we going to go there on? Because we're 20 minutes in and it's been.
He's got a gotcha that he doesn't want to use yet. He wants to set her up. That's how congressmen do it.
Relentless attacks.
No,
on
here. Hey,
kind of surprising.
No, Angela, here's the deal.
That's not surprising.
I want you to explain what the Mises Caucus is, because as I've looked into the Mises Caucus, I see alt-right. I see completely up and down alt-right, and the alt-right is pretty consistently bigoted, anti-immigrant, nationalist, white nationalist, anti-Semitic, anti-LGBT. And there seems to be an identical refrain in the Mises Caucus, which is just weird to me because it's all, like alt-right to me is utterly anti-libertarian. Do you think?
Yeah.
No.
Well, it depends on what you're saying alt-right is, probably.
I told you what I thought it was.
That, but you just told me that I'm alt-right.
No. I think the Mises Caucus, to me, sounds alt-right.
Paul, you think libertarianism is not compatible with the alt-right?
Oh, I think true libertarianism is compatible with all kinds of beliefs. Matter of fact, the further you go into it, it's kind of like have your own KKK community, have your communist commune. I mean, Gene Epstein has talked about this. Yeah. If you want your own little communist commune, go have it. Just have it out there by yourself. I don't give a shit. So technically it's compatible. I think, you know, mainstream wise, is it? I'm not a big fan of the alt-right.
Have you ever watched Hoppe's speech on the alt-right?
No. The only thing I've seen with Hoppe is him laughing with taking phone calls on Michael Malice's show twice.
I would recommend to you and anyone watching the no people watching this show to watch, just go to YouTube and type in Hoppe alt-right and enjoy.
I think as Angela pointed out here, the definition of the alt-right is difficult to ascertain. So
yeah, it's something different to everybody.
Yeah. I read Michael Malice's book, The New Right. And I'm not a fan of like Spencer and some of these people. I think they're somewhat weak-minded, for a lot of things, but whatever. That's just me. I'm not as racial in almost every aspect. I just don't give a shit. So yeah.
And that's how you end up with, people rubber stamping your name on things.
All right. Buddy says he'll watch it. He calls you a friend. I don't know why. Let's get going.
It's for pro-individualism, individual liberties. It's welcoming of gay people. We have a couple of trans members. At least half of the caucus is open borders, more so than the average
homos, Republican by far. But you can't welcome racists. All right.
Yeah. All right. Good point.
When I say alt-right, what's your notion of what alt-right is?
Richard Spencer.
I love that response because he's well known. He's a controversial figure. He's mostly left, by the way.
He's a leftist. Yes.
Yes, and he's a person that nobody really likes on both sides. I would imagine. I mean, there's Nick Fuentes types who like him. So I thought her answer was perfect. Put a lightning rod out there, way out there, and say, yeah, this is what I consider, and see what this fucker says.
Right, but philosophically, what is alt-right?
Opposed, even that is so nuanced.
Mises and Rothbard, I would say the stereotypical alt-right person is
opposed to any equal treatment of gays and lesbians. They believe
that women should have
super traditional roles and frown on women in the working place. There's an argument about whether or not women should vote. They believe in a strong
Dickie
national government. National health care, but mostly for white people, immigration moratorium.
And you'd oppose the Mises caucus would oppose any and all of that.
Yes.
White supremacy. Yeah, I'll never is a join the LP. Thing, right?
No, that's the Mises white caucus, nationalism? Not the LP.
Yeah. National.
You could be part of the liberal caucus.
Nationalism of any kind.
Of any kind.
Black nationalism,
is bad.
Too.
Yeah. Anti-Semitism is bad.
Yeah.
He's got to get it on record on all these.
But she's going for it. That's
you're
what's
not
bothering
anti-trans. Are you anti-trans?
No, my best friend is transgender.
Oh, sorry. Oh.
I texted her this morning.
Oh, hey.
You tweeted, a couple months ago.
Show us the
drag bunch story. This
makes me so disappointed on both ends. Like, I expect this from Joe Walsh, this guy, but I'm like kind of disappointed in Angela. I understand what you're saying. You got to have mass appeal. I don't know. I ain't bringing no trannies around my kid. I ain't hanging out with no trannies. I ain't texting no trannies. I'm not using their proper pronouns.
What if the tranny is one, either toad or gays for groomers?
I don't follow gays for groomers either. I think the LGP is how you get the T. Fuck them.
Spencer was always a fed. JC says Spencer was always a fed. The main gatekeepers of the alt-right and dark enlightenment are limited hangout plants, but no one wants to admit it. I think you just did. F this, F slur. I didn't watch this before, but holy cow. Yeah. I texted her this morning. The text was keeping.
Okay. All right. That is unacceptable. Thank you, JC.
If I had a bag of coffee, I'd send it to you. But then you'd have
events
to
where the queens gyrate and dance sexually in front of children are basically the I'm not touching you version of kid diddly.
Yep.
What are you getting at there?
That is disgusting. That no one should be taking off their clothes and dancing.
Wait, is Magoo saying that kid diddling is why he doesn't want to be involved? I'm confused. I may have mistimed that.
Semi-naked in front of children, and they shouldn't use transgenderism as a shield to defend themselves from criticism. It's wrong.
Is there a libertarian position on that? Or is that yours? Is that the Mises caucus
position? On molesting
position?
Children?
No, not on molesting children. On the whole drag brunch story hour. On the whole drag queen thing.
Drag queen story hour? There's different views on it. I think there's a correct view.
What's the correct view?
All right.
That adults should not perform sexual acts in front of children, and especially not up close with the clothes off.
Hang on, pause.
You started an anti-gay.
All right, so there's some cognitive dissonance going on here for Angela. Like, she has a kid. You text your best tranny friend this morning. You're using proper pronouns. Are you going to involve this tranny in your kid's life at all? Like,
well, look. I'm sure you've had, you might be this friend to someone, Andy, that's repugnant to them. Like, they might not like your lifestyle. It doesn't mean that you need to allow their kid to start tucking dollar bills in your pants. I think that's what she's saying. So you can have, I have friends or I've had acquaintances that, lifestyles I don't agree with. Let's just say adulterers, right? Or whatnot. And you can, for whatever, oops, hey, drunks, whatever. But you don't need to then say live your life. I don't really give a shit. But no,
don't live your life.
Don't you don't get to then say start putting dollar bills down their pants and have that be okay. I think
sure you can draw the line in however places you want to, whatever you want to do. Me personally, you hang around dog shit long enough, you start to smell like it. So
exactly, I get it. Okay, let's keep going here. I don't know who her trans friend is.
Gay or straight, trans, whatever. Like it's just like shouldn't be doing that. Kids shouldn't be putting dollar bills in adults' underwear.
You started an anti-trans makeup company. Why?
It's a pro women. But that's not having any.
Pro women is now anti-trans. This guy
has been. It always has been. That's the framing, and that's why you just have to put your nuts on the table and say, yes, I am all of the things you hate.
JC says the B in LGBT stands for bicycles. I just said you made a great comment. I laughed. I said if I had a bag of coffee, I'd send it to you, and then you take a shot at me like this. I don't know what this is.
Lumberjacks, garbage men, bicyclists, and truckers.
But that's not about JC's on a roll. That's my personal podcast.
Why did you do that?
All good.
Have you ever scrolled through the Instagram of Ulta or Sephora and seen people with literal beards putting mascara on?
First of all, of course he has. And second of all, he's been in their stores. Next question.
Putting mascara on their beards? I think that the virtue signaling has become ridiculous. And sometimes you have to push really hard back in the opposite direction to sort of reset everyone back to where things should be, where we recognize the truth, what a man is, what a woman is.
But you consider, what acceptable... you consider transgender women, correct?
I consider them transgender women. They know that they're biologically male, the same ones. And they're trans women. They're not the same as me. And that's okay.
They're
and the ones that work at it, I absolutely respect them and view them as women. Now, weirdos with just who have, blue-green hair, bad haircuts and don't work at it and they're not on hormones and they're not trying to look like women, they're not going to get my respect.
But again, the libertarian position is live and let live and do what you want to do. And
No? Well, live and let live, I mean, what does that mean? It's that consenting adults can do whatever they want, but you don't have to approve of everything.
No. But you don't have to approve. But a 30-year-old man who becomes a transgender woman and identifies as a woman, he or she is free to do that.
Sure, absolutely.
And you would respectfully identify her as a woman if she identifies.
It depends. It depends. If, in my opinion, that person is sincere about it, then yes.
So no offense, Angela, but she puts a test on there based on how much effort they put into it.
Sincere.
Yeah. Angela and Andy's daughter are the only real images in this females
only
in
real
this image.
Females in this image.
Well, I hope so. I can't read.
The health of the party. And I've got numbers and statistics, and you probably have numbers and statistics. But the bottom line, since the Mises Caucus took over, membership's way down, money's way down. Yay or nay?
Yeah, it is.
Why is that?
Actually, that's not entirely true. It's down since October or November of the year that we took over.
Yes, especially the first, especially in this 2023, the first 8 months of this year, it's just like nosedive. What do you think's going on?
So there's several things going on. We've had a lot of turnover. We've had some internal organizational challenges that it would not be appropriate for me to discuss here. One of the real problems that I've been pretty public about is we had a failed data migration where we went from one CRM to another and we lost a lot of our recurring donations and donor data. And that's been a financial pain, absolutely.
You're the chairwoman of the Libertarian Party. Did you speak at a LaRouche event in April?
Probably.
Why?
Because it was an anti-war event and I was invited to speak there. I also had a really amazing opportunity to talk about free market problems and push back against some of the things that I think are not good ideas that come out of that organization.
You do not support the LaRouche movement, correct?
No, I support the Libertarian Party.
You don't support the LaRouche movement, what they are and what they stand for. I mean, they're anti-gay. They believe the world is run by Jews. They believe our military planned 9/11.
This is so, you sound like Rachel Maddow right now.
I don't mean to be. I just want to...
I mean, do you know any of them? Have you ever had a conversation with any of them? Most of them, the ones I've spoken to, are really sweet, sincere people.
Sweet, sincere people. The LaRouche movement stands for things that you and I shouldn't agree with.
I don't think that it does, because here you are saying that I stand for all that stuff too, because the Mises Caucus does, which of course it doesn't. it's weird that I'm now having to defend the LaRouche movement. There are some really wonderful people there. They have been staunchly anti-war. They've been our strong advocates. They're not anti-gay.
If if an
oh, but yes. Maybe some people a long time ago who were there were anti-gay. That's okay. That's like the entire country.
If a group that believe the world is run by Jews, that was started by a Marxist, that believes in protectionism, industrialization, that believes our military planned 9/11, and that is anti-gay and that is anti-Semitic, invited me to speak, I wouldn't speak there. You know what's?
I mean,
go ahead, Angel. What's interesting to me is
if a group of people who like got together and decided they were going to have an endeavor, and it was all you know, like one of the things that they were going to do to accomplish their goals, they were going to use a bunch of slaves. Like, you know, we wouldn't go support that either. And yet here we are in the United States. But time has passed. Things have changed. You know, I don't. Is there a statute of limitations?
What's interesting to me is
it's weird. Hang on.
If a racist organization invited me,
do you know anything about the LaRouche movement?
No, I don't. But the framing of this is funny because this is what leftists always do. Like, I would not speak with these people. Yet here you are speaking with a person you're trying to frame as exactly those people.
Well, what's interesting, I had never heard of them. I'm usually aware of most fringe groups like Tower Gang. But you look them up and they came out of the labor, the U.S. Labor Party. They're Democrats. They do happen to have, I can't say anything about what he said, they're anti-gay, but they definitely have an anti-Israel bent to them. So remember, she's alt-right, and now she's,
I don't know what she's saying.
She's alt-right, and then she's cozying up to the LaRouche group. So,
who shows this? Is it your show? Wait.
Oh, snap. So did you tell Emma this is your podcast?
But you're watching someone else.
Yes.
It's meta.
Oh, okay.
It's meta.
To speak, I wouldn't speak there. If a known racist group invited you to speak, would you speak?
Probably. Because I thought those other friends.
Who? Davis? Daryl Davis? He speaks at KKK events all the time. He's a black dude. He's constantly going out trying to change people's minds. I think that's such an important thing for us to do when we have the position to do that.
I hear that, but a group of white supremacists invited me to speak. Again, I'd condemn white racism. I'd condemn in the 31 minutes we've been talking, Angela, I haven't heard you forcefully like condemn this bad shit.
Andy, let me ask you this. You have been invited to speak before a group that you have one bit communist group, for example, but you're anti-war or whatever. I don't know. What do you agree with? Are you going to speak with them? And then if you do, are you going to, what are you going to do?
I talk to all different kinds of people all day, every day. A communist group was like, hey, we're interested in having you speak with us or, you know, present something, I would make it as inflammatory towards them as possible.
Nice.
But then again, I mean, that's the play, right? Like, you get invited to do the thing and you rub their nose in it. Like,
what have I been saying? Yeah, what have I been saying about RFK and about using him? I've basically been saying it's time we stop being used by these people. And if they're going to, you know, then you start rubbing, like you said, rub their nose in it. And
I love you.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry.
I'm
and you
record
too,
that.
Tyler.
Oh, thank you. So I'm going to use them in a sense. So.
And you won't. And you won't because when I feel that someone is pressuring me to virtue signal and say condemn, 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 I don't say it because I'm not going to bow to the mob or any iteration of it.
That's an interesting point. You call it virtue signaling.
I do.
Anti-Semitism is bad. It's easy. You've agreed it's bad. It's easy.
Sure.
It's easy to condemn.
I've said it multiple times, but it's like I don't use the right magic words. So when I say it, it's not.
No, you say you won't condemn it because you don't want a virtue signal.
I'm not going to use the words condemn, disavow, denounce, decry. I think that it's hyperbolic language, and I don't like. It's like in several years ago, someone in the Libertarian Party circulated a petition and pressured people to sign it, like denouncing racism. It just is like absurd. We could just say we know racism is bad. Ron Paul said racism is bad. It's an ugly form of collectivism, and then we.
Collectivism. Individualism and collectivism are such a misnomer, and I hate when people use them all the time, overly. But what's the Trump quote? I fully condemn. Who's he say?
bad people on both sides?
David Duke or something. Oh, yeah. Look, if you want me to keep condemning David Duke.
J Ford says, Tyler, for the sake of your channel, I'm tuning out because I'm so pissed off watching this. Look, first, and not you at Andy, but this, hey, first of all, like it, make a little comment. Glad you made a comment that helps us. Just let it stream and go walk away, at least so our views go stay up. But this is fun. I mean, this guy's enraged. Yes, but he's an idiot. And what is disturbing is a buddy here says, how can people this dumb be so successful? I'm a dumb person. I'm smarter than this gun. I totally agree. This is why
politics.
It's easy
to be successful in politics if you're a psychopath. That's why.
He was a by the way, I looked him up. He was a Republican. He was very upset at Obama for not continuing the Israel alliance. So there you go. That's
He's trying to get her to tap dance for the shekels right now.
You just condemned racism. You do condemn. Anti-Semitism is horrible.
She's not for racists.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
although I wish she was.
But Angela,
pogroms in the Soviet Union—it's all bad.
Angela, but that's why I feel like you're playing games because you say you won't condemn it. You just condemned it. Anti-Semitism is horrible.
Well, then why are you upset? That's what you wanted. Now you go jerk off in the corner to those.
So you condemn it.
I'm not going to use the words that you want me to use.
Right?
Does that make sense? Like I'm very, very opposed to using certain language around it.
And Angela's pretty. She's kind of a punk rocker.
Yeah.
You believe the Mises Caucus believes. Or do they? That January 6th was a bad day.
Bad for me. Oh, no. Are we going to get into this?
I don't know. Why not get into it? Was it a bad day?
Okay, let's get into it. What do you mean a bad day?
Was it
a huge disappointment.
What was a huge disappointment?
Fuck yeah. They didn't go far enough.
Nothing happened. A bunch of people went there and got scammed by Donald Trump. But, like, nothing happened.
What'd they go Except there?
There was no prison. Coup. It was just a riot, and then people got let into the White House and walked around.
Was it a bad thing? Was it a bad thing that
not
happened?
Not the White House.
Was that a bad thing that happened?
The U.S. House.
Yeah, she messed that up.
That shouldn't be tough. Was it a good day or a bad day for America that happened?
For America.
Oh, I think it was a bad day, but not for the same reasons that you think. What? I don't think it was an attack on America. An attack on America is like 9/11, where a bunch of people die. Bad days for America are
BLM
like every
riots.
Day when we ship, troops overseas and someone dies in a foreign war. Bad day for America is like when some Middle Eastern family gets bombed on their wedding day and they're collateral damage.
When people riot.
It just doesn't compare to me.
It
was an embarrassing moment.
What was that?
I said when bad day for America is when people riot for a career criminal overdosing on fentanyl.
Do you want to, let's talk about that later.
It's an embarrassing moment.
Yeah, it was like Muppets Take Manhattan, but like it was, like MAGA people take the White House. It didn't work.
Solid.
I do not get emotional over January 6th.
What were they trying to do, the people who rioted in the Capitol? That
ask them,
they were rioting and pissed off and expressing their frustration.
Why don't you ask them, niggas? I wasn't
expressing their democracy.
You don't believe the election was stolen?
Stolen? No. No, I think there was probably election fraud. And I think
come
that
on.
Happens every single
Pause it.
Every single election cycle.
I'm not going to let you do this. Don't nuke my fucking channel.
Hillary Clinton.
Channel.
All elections are stolen.
Oh, there we go. by the way, I watch Carrie Lake and I cringe. I watch Donald Trump talking about this stuff and I cringe. Part of it is, if you go back to a lot of those lawsuits they tried to file after the fact, the courts were right, which is you had a chance to bring these before. California did this. Kevin Kiley was part of this thing, bringing lawsuits before to challenge ballot access and things that they shouldn't be able to do against the constitution, state constitutions. That got overturned and are held up and valid. And then Trump and these losers try to do it after the fact, and they could have done it before, but he's lazy, he's a loser, whatever.
Well, Republicans are the ones that passed all the mail-in balloting.
Yes, they helped do that too, so.
There was some cases like in Pennsylvania, right, where they kind of kicked the can down the road until they did bring them before, but they never got seen to till after. And then when it gets seen after, then it's like, oh, oops, too late.
It happened in 2020 or 2016. I mean, so.
You don't believe, though, it was an attack on our democratic process?
No.
Okay. So you disagree with then a lot of what the
liberals
justice system has determined. I mean, 1,000 people have been charged and arrested. Hundreds are in jail.
What was the BLM saying about peaceful protests?
Yeah, mostly
riot is the voice of the unheard. There we go.
by the way, this guy's wrong. No courts have said I am detaining the QAnon shaman as an example because he was subverting democracy. No, it was trespass on a federal. It has nothing. They're not making a determination on democracy. This dumb fuck. That's for you, Jay Ford.
Yeah, specifically trying. You don't.
I think they're political prisoners, and even though I don't agree with their political ideology, I think it's horribly unjust that they were locked up. Some of them were horribly mistreated in prison too, even by prison standards. And certainly my heart goes out to them and their families, you know, and I do think a lot of that is on Donald Trump, and he could have told those people go home, and he instead, you know, pushed them to go to the Capitol. And then he didn't even have the guts to pardon them afterwards when he still could have. Like that, I think was really embarrassing. That was a really embarrassing moment for him.
Does the Libertarian Party doesn't have a stance on that. I mean, I've asked you for your viewpoint.
No.
But again, you believe Trump the whole time was lying about a stolen election.
I don't know if he was lying or if he was like just wrong, misled. I mean, I don't think it was the truth. I don't know whether or not his statements were really intentional. He has surrounded himself with so many bad people. It's hard to really sort out like what's his opinion, what's his narcissism, what's just, you know.
Is he a bad guy?
Terrible advice.
What's the stance that the Mises Caucus and or you has on Trump?
Donald Trump? I mean, I don't want him to be president again. Didn't want him to be president the first time. We don't have Trump arrangements.
He does know that they're like, Libertarian
we're not,
Party.
We're just upset over him. We just would prefer that he. My biggest frustrations with him, Operation Warp Speed, the fact that he's still, you know, talking about his vaccination program like it was a good thing.
Well, that's Joe's favorite thing.
Wait, back up. Explain something to me.
Hold on.
Yeah.
You believe the vaccines, generally, the vaccines were good things, no?
No,
you don't.
I don't think so. I'm not persuaded.
You're not persuaded.
I think there's an argument to be made that they could have saved some elderly people and people who were high risk. But I think that what we're finding right now, and it's not happening in real time, is that the side effects greatly outweighed any positives. And there's a lot of young people who are having heart problems, and it's really tragic.
So you don't believe the vaccines were a good thing? You don't believe they worked and saved?
Asked and answered.
Flash. I don't think so. I think that probably in the end, the evil outweighed the good, yeah. Certainly not how it was rolled out. People should have been put on notice that it was experimental more. Our government pushed it so hard. People trusted it. That was not the right way to do it. If you're going to push things out like that, people need to be a little bit more buyer beware, and it needs to be done in a more honest manner.
And again, we won't spend much time on this, but yeah, for the record, you and I disagree. I think the science is pretty clear that the vaccines did a great job keeping people out of the hospital and saving lives, keeping people from dying.
You can't say that. This is I've said this over and over. This is jobs saved. We don't know that because people then got sick out. You can't prove this.
The science says if we put young infected people inside of elderly homes, everything will work out great.
Wait,
that's what the science told me.
Negative impact of the vaccines. But let's move on from that. LP National tweeted a few months ago.
There we go.
A picture of Nancy Pelosi, Kamala Harris, Ukraine Zelensky when he spoke at the Capitol, our Capitol, and it identified these three people as traitors.
Solid.
You don't believe?
Okay.
Zelensky, Pelosi.
Run them through again.
Kamala, pardon me.
Nancy Pelosi. Yeah,
it's a picture of Zelensky when he spoke at the joint session of Congress, and Pelosi and Kamala Harris are behind him, and LP National called these three traitors. Just said traitors.
Sure. I agree. Sure.
Why is Zelensky a traitor?
I mean, Zelensky himself, personally, I mean, I guess he's in a really challenging spot. I don't think that he's making right decisions at all for his people. And I certainly don't appreciate him trying to siphon off tons of money from the United States.
Yeah,
two
but
things.
Hang on.
You don't think he's a traitor. He's defending his country, whether you agree.
All right, so this kind of becomes the question of, like, do you blame the welfare recipient or do you blame the people doling out the welfare? Like, I don't blame somebody who collects the welfare check as opposed to the person that's offering it to him.
Yeah, by the way, when I heard this the first time, and once again, I'm like, okay, Zelensky, I don't know. I mean, I think he's trash. I don't know that he's a traitor. I mean, maybe to his
country.
Seems
like he's doing the best thing he can do is getting a shit ton of money out of it.
Right.
I don't know.
Maybe he's a patriot. Now, the other two... There's no doubt about it. So I don't know that I would put him in there. Anyway.
Agree with how he's doing it or not. Like what would
I don't have an issue with him defending. I don't have an issue with him defending his country. That's his business.
Why would Nancy Pelosi? Why would the LP identify Pelosi and Kamala Harris as traitors.
Get the fuck out of here.
Oh my gosh.
Why?
Really?
Well, I mean, you may disagree with their politics. Why are they traitors? I don't understand.
Involving us in an undeclared war overseas. There, so many things. Everything that they do is just like wrong. Tons of those people up there are traitors.
Traitors.
Yeah.
Because we're helping Ukraine. Even if you disagree. Sure.
We're robbing our taxpayers to put money over there into something that it remains to be seen, but it's potentially some sort of money laundering scheme. There I feel like we go. Should have a better idea what's going on over there before we dump billions of dollars.
Well, but we have dumped billions of dollars, and think it's money that shouldn't be there, but you'd acknowledge that we're helping Ukraine or we're trying.
I don't know that we are helping. I think we might be making it worse, which is another reason that's very irresponsible to do that.
Who's responsible for the war?
Who's responsible for the war? Russia, Ukraine, NATO, the United States to a certain degree. You've got a lot of players in there.
Who started the war like 16, 17 months ago? Who started the war?
This is like saying, you know what? World War II, it was perfectly fine. Everyone was super happy. Then Archduke Ferdinand somehow gets killed and the war immediately is on. But there was no other way it was going to happen. It had to be that little incident. Come on, buddy. The life's more complicated.
I like how you phrased that.
I'm just saying.
Do you want to say anything?
No, keep going.
About the United States and the coup and all of that in 2014 with Victoria Nuland and the Maidan Revolution.
Look,
I think that you can't take it apart. We can't compartmentalize it or just look at a little piece. You've got to look at the entirety of the history.
Was it wrong for Putin to invade a sovereign country a year and a half ago? Was it
sure.
wrong?
Yes.
Where did the Libertarian Party ever condemn that?
Oh God!
Under your leadership, when?
Where did they praise
it? By the way, Angela,
How about at the rally that I held at the Lincoln Memorial?
Can we talk about that?
I said it there on a stage in front of thousands of people. I don't know, Joe.
Should have burned the Lincoln Memorial down.
List all the things that made you really triggered with my rally.
I'm not triggered, Angela. I'm not. I'm very little. After everything I've been through, very little triggers me. I have this view. Yeah, honestly, I have this view of the Mises Caucus, and I'm just trying to give you an opportunity to shoot down some of this stuff. The Rage Against the War Machine rally that you had in February.
I've already formulated my opinion.
Correct me if I'm wrong. But man, oh man, Angela, when I look at who co-sponsored this event, who spoke at this event, it seemed like a pro-war, pro-Russia, pro-aggression rally. I mean, you had...
Do you care about ending war? Like, is that a priority for you? Because it's a priority for me.
So then if you care about ending a war...
Okay, he can't answer that.
Why would you have fascists and communists and mouthpieces for Russia...
Okay, let's go back to the beginning. Remember when he's like, you're not condemning enough people. He's like, you're not inclusive enough, right? You're alt-right. You don't include all these groups. Now he's upset that they're including, this is why he's all over the board. Now, the Rage Against the War Machine rally, if you're going to do Rage Against the Machine, that's a horrible slogan because they're a piece of shit.
Yeah, two, gay.
I had a problem with the child guy, Ritter. Three, siding yourself with communists is always touchy. But now he's upset that you're siding yourself, you're siding with communists. What's your take?
With his people.
They're pro-Russia because Russia was still the motherland for the Soviet Empire.
Yeah, which is, I mean, he's putting her through a communist struggle session right now. Right. You know, I wasn't a big fan of the Rage Against the War Machine thing. I thought it could have been more effective. I mean, obviously, the war is still going on. It didn't really change much. But, you know, a lot of people are very activist brain, and they just want to get out and show face and say their two cents. And I get it, but I don't know. I think you're right about him trying to tag him for not being inclusive enough and then exclusive on the other end. So
speaking at an event like this.
We invited people from multiple political backgrounds and perspectives to come and speak as long as they were anti-war.
Nick Brana, he's the chairman of the People's Party. He's a communist. He co-chaired this thing. His Twitter
feed. He's not a communist.
His Twitter.
So, but by the way, let's say he's a communist. The People's Party. I don't have anything to. Do you think you're too far right with the Mises Caucus? That's what she is. That's what it is. Is that now a problem? I mean, how do you connect those two, Mr. Walsh. Do you see the problem I'm having here, Andy?
Yeah,
she's too left. Now she's too right. Wouldn't you go, oh, you know what? This is obvious. She obviously can't be alt-right if she's siding up with communists.
Tyler, are you familiar at all with Knott's Bowls?
No.
They're Nazi Bolsheviks. They're like evolutionary neo-communists. So okay. Pretty so similar.
You're saying it can be done?
I'm saying, no, it can't be synthesized, but this is what Joe Walsh is. Okay. Sort of, what? In this vein.
Angela, his Twitter feed, the past year and a half, is full of nothing but pro-Russian propaganda.
Okay.
He blames the U.S., NATO, and Ukraine up and down the street. Never once blames Russia. Never once. Garland.
By the way, there's so many people that are just pro-Ukrainian propaganda, or Israel, or Palestine. I mean, okay.
Nixon is a mouthpiece in the U.S. for Russian state media. Caleb Maupin is a communist. He's the founder of CPI.
He is.
One of the rally's sponsors that hosted a pro-Nazi rally. I could go on. There are like 15 speakers.
Heaven forbid we take $1,000 from someone so we can have an appropriate sound system to put on our
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You're better than that. You let a guy like that, a pro-Russia communist fascist.
His first good answer or question or comment.
See, this is what he's touching on. Like, he's like, this communist guy put on a Nazi rally, which is, you know, if you live online, like a lot of people do, you would believe that communists and Nazis hate each other, but there is a weird flavor of them joining.
And evidently, they also like libertarians.
Whatever you speak, because he gave
me I'll have a public conversation with him. Maybe I'll have a public conversation with him to talk about communism and his views. But
Wait a minute. You just said that he gave you $1,000 for the event, so you let him speak?
I did. I mean, they were a sponsor. Sponsors donated money.
Why would you let someone sponsor the event who is a mouthpiece for pro-Russia, who has said he wants Russia to win the war?
You know what a lot of people ask me is, like, how can I let anybody speak at any of our rallies who is in favor of anything the United States government does? Tulsi Gabbard, Dennis Kucinich, Ron Paul, anybody who's in favor of anything that America does, because all we do overseas is literally blow up children. And anybody associated with it should be too ashamed to get
it's
on the stage.
Not true. We traffic them as well.
I have a lot of interesting requests and concerns too. To juggle. Ultimately, what it comes down to is I want to bring people together to oppose nuclear war. That's my priority. And I actually think I did a really damn good job of it.
Angela.
Best anti-war rally in almost 20 years.
And again, it's so interesting because a common thread here is you don't want to judge and you don't want to necessarily weigh in, and you'll have an anti-war rally an anti-war rally with a bunch of pro-war speakers. That like is oxymoronic. That makes no sense. Right. Like I know welcome all viewpoints, but at an anti-war rally, you had a litany of speakers who are pro-war.
You're pro-war. You're telling me right now you're pro-war. Oh, okay. Because they also say they're not pro-war. So that's very interesting.
Now, a number of these...
it's almost like nuance kind of matters.
A number of these people identify... Scott Ritter.
He didn't speak at our rally.
He was invited to speak, correct?
He was invited to speak.
Not speaking. Joe, you would like him.
Jackson Hinkle was a speaker. He writes constantly of how he wants Russia to win the war.
Right. So there are problematic things about the support the war. What is it called? Rage Against the Machine rally.
Nuke the white man rally.
Josh Smith had problems with it.
Yeah.
Or and take over all of Ukraine. Why would you allow a guy like that to speak at an anti-war rally?
Well, I certainly don't agree with that. I don't want Russia to take over all of Ukraine and hope.
Angela just needs to go on the.
I was really glad that
he waiting for her to go on the
anti-war message when he did speak. I think it's an interesting opportunity sometimes to push people. Their anti-war, and we did a good job of it.
She needs to be pushing back way harder. She started to for a second. She's like, Joe, you're pro-war. Like, start hammering him. Like, fuck. He's got her on her heels. Literally and physically.
I think she got worn down a little
metaphysically.
Bit.
Metaphysically, yeah.
Hey.
It's Angela, this is good. By the way, it's a good conversation. Fascinates me. The Mises Caucus has a reputation, and I know you think just people who don't like you, baloney. There are certainly people like that, but anybody who's aware of what the Libertarian Party is and is aware of the history and you guys taking over and the controversy, whatever, you have a reputation, the Mises Caucus does, of being anti-Semitic, of being anti-trans, of being, again, almost like
in progressive circles.
I'm in
centrist circles.
In a lot of liberal.
Well, Angel,
you'd acknowledge there are libertarians who are not happy. I mean, you've lost a hell of a lot of members.
Are
with the direction the party's going, correct? They're not progressives.
Sure, there are people who are unhappy.
And they're not progressives or centrists. They're libertarians. They were former members of the party.
I would say a handful of them. I think that that's debatable. I think that people can come to a good faith disagreement there on that item.
Right, but you would agree that libertarians, there could be libertarians who, well, I know you have to agree to this because you know they're there. Libertarians who left the party because of the Mises Caucus. You'd agree with that.
Sure. Are they libertarians?
Sure.
What, Angela, what?
Do you think anything positive maybe came out of it? Do you think anything? Or is it all just
of what?
Doom and gloom?
Out of what?
Doom and gloom.
Out of what? This conversation?
The last year of the Libertarian Party. Do you think we've had any
positive? No, not this conversation.
It's interesting you say that. That's what I was going to begin to close with. Oh. I was going to get into like what the end game is, what the goals are. And I'll let you have a field day with this, Angela. I'll put my conspiratorial hat on. It strikes me that the Mises Caucus, because membership is tanking and money is tanking, and there's been this split, it seems to me that the Mises Caucus, you could argue, is almost trying to sabotage the party. Here's my conspiracy, to help Trump, because the Mises Caucus is so alt-right. Boom! Pick that apart.
Good grief. It sounds like you spent some time looking up appearances and interviews that I'd done. No, I think it does matter. Did you see the big interview, the Oxford debate I did at the Soho Forum arguing against Donald Trump, where I just like crushed it?
I did not see
one by a landslide.
I did not see that. But no, don't.
That was a while
look,
ago.
I'm no, like you're no dummy. I'm no dummy. I mean, and I generally am of good faith, and I think you're generally of good faith.
I hope that Donald Trump gets the nomination, because I think it'll be a lot easier to make a really strong argument against him than it will be DeSantis. Because I think a lot of people right now are really pissed off over the woke stuff. They're very concerned about the exaltation of identity politics and the sexualization of children. And Donald Trump is actually like, he's pretty like lax on a lot of that stuff.
What is woke? Like, how would you define woke?
What is woke? Woke is mainstream Marxism. Woke is mainstream Marxism. And
Joe's
it gets sort of floated by Marxism. And with the current
thing. You know the history. You know the history of the term woke. I know you do. So you'd quibble with my definition that woke is, and I know nobody now likes to use the term anymore. Woke is just an awareness and a recognition that this country still has a way to go when it comes to things like racism and injustice to people.
I say it's any topic where you get to the out-group. But the politically correct group gets to bully you on a subject. And I would even throw that in. I'm having a new revelation here. The right, the Shapiro-likes, they're woke on anti-Semitism. You can't say anything about Israel, and then they come at you immediately, and it's their way of being able to bully you for not having the right thoughts.
Of color and
no, I agree. There's a little history about this, too, is... I'm going to drop a random Civil War history tidbit, but
oh shit,
the Lincoln basically had BLM and Antifa back in his day, and I forget what they were called. I was just looking at it the other day, but it was very similar.
Mexicans.
No, it was similar to like something woke. It was like the Awakened or the Wide Awakes. That's what they're called. Look that up on Wikipedia. The Wide Awakes. They were basically like the foot soldiers, and they were Antifa of the 1800s. I swear, I promise to you.
Wide Awakes. Okay, we'll look at it in a bit. Let's keep going. We're almost done.
It's just like an awakening and gaining empathy. That would be my definition of woke. And you wouldn't oppose that kind of a concept, right?
No, but I disagree with the definition. And I don't, what's the right way to, Jordan Peterson says to be precise in your speech. So I try to be precise in my speech. I think that we would have different ideas about the ways to go that we have and why we are at those positions.
When it comes to the issue of woke, to me, my libertarian stance would be it can be whatever people want it to be. There should be no government policy on it. Be open to all views on it. I mean,
what libertarianism is.
Well, okay, let's go back though. He's not okay on all views. All views would be everything
racism,
he just,
sexism, xenophobia,
right, all those things me. He just railed he'd against, have, not condemning. So
he'd have to welcome me and exalt me. Polish my white man's boots.
Oh, yuck.
I mean,
you know what? I think it's really important to pursue truth, because I think truth and liberty are inextricably entwined with one another.
The truth is
that you cannot have individual liberty unless you have truth. Just like, perfect example, people were saying, we've got to lock you down to keep you safe for your freedoms. And right. we know that that's not true, because there were people who needed to go to work and take whatever risks that they felt they might have to take during lockdown so that they could provide for their families. They were not safer lockdown at home. So I think that truth and individualism and liberty are very, very closely related. You can't have one without the other. And wokeism,
right, but let me just interject.
It's not truth.
Well, but again, you're smart enough to know that everybody's got a different definition of wokeism. So you can't say wokeism isn't truth. Woke maybe.
I can.
You can. But
I never see the linguistic battle.
It's your truth.
Can't see
it's
the
your
linguistic
truth. It's your truth. To me,
I believe in objective truth.
Well, but again, you don't. You have an opinion of what wokeism is. I have an opinion about wokeism.
Postmodernists.
We each have our own truth. But again, truth can be a funny thing. You and I could spend a lot of time talking about the vaccines and COVID, and and I could make a case that you're denying some basic truths. Truth can get funny. I just think
See, and this is where he falls in and just shows his mask or takes it down a little bit. He believes a lot of that is truth, right? Which it's just sometimes this is science. Unless it's a law of science, it's always perpetually changing, and it can be changing. So you can have, and it's not postmodernism. It's just simply the scientific method, unless, you know, law of gravity as an example. So I like they say truth, which is like, okay, you mean you're not allowed to have a second opinion on this? That's really what you said.
Kinsella is actually pretty good on some of this stuff about
who?
A priori. Kinsella is
pretty
good on some of this a prioristic. You know, what is truth? The more philosophical dives into libertarianism and what, you know, what is a synthetic a priori? You know, Walsh is definitely sounds like a fucking child molester sympathizer. I mean, he's basically just taking Foucault's definition of what truth is.
Agreed.
It's difficult, I think, in certain areas for someone to say definitively that this is truth. Especially kind of like a libertarian position.
Oh, I am not a postmodernist. I do believe in objective truth. I think that there are really complicated situations, especially when it comes in with statistical analysis, because that can be, you know, manipulated. But I think when you get to the heart of the matter, you can almost always discover what the truth is. The getting there, though, is sometimes very painful and a long and difficult journey.
You and I both would have agreed. You obviously opposed any and all government mandates during COVID, and I did as well.
Yeah.
I supported, again, my version of freedom. I support a private business, a private restaurant, whatever, having whatever policy they want to have when it came to masks and vaccines. Are you there on that?
Not 100%. Let me share with you why. I think that the reason a lot of those businesses instituted those mandates is because they were fed government propaganda that I think was based on lies. And I think they were also very afraid of government repercussions and pushback from government agencies, and so they instituted mask mandates and things of that nature.
Even with that,
and they were afraid of lawsuits too.
Even if I accepted that, and I don't, but even if
what were you gonna say, Junior?
He's got you were hassling me about my phone. Yeah, I got a brand new iPhone, but he's got a Patriot Mobile mug he's drinking out of. Is that
does it? I didn't even see that.
Or if he takes a drink again, pay attention.
Well, that just means he's a Fed.
If I accepted that, at the end of the day, the owner of a private business should be free to dictate what the policy at his business is, period. Freedom.
Yeah. Yes, and.
Okay.
Yes, and I, as a consumer, customer, loyal customer, should be free to engage with him and push back a little bit and try to persuade
him.
Well,
okay, true.
At the end of the day, if I get tossed out, and I did many places, then that's the way it is.
No, I concur.
We don't
agree.
Have private businesses.
You have your freedom
to
do what you want, but if you...
What's that?
We don't really have private businesses in this company. In this country.
Wait, though. He says some really important stuff.
Go into that restaurant and you don't abide by his freedom, his policy, he can kick you out of the restaurant.
Yeah.
Let's close.
I surmise, once again, you can push back on this guy in a few different ways. One here, so the Civil Rights Act is bullshit. That's what you're saying. You're saying because he should be able to dictate what happens in his business, and it's a private company, bro. But I would guess, just hearing his whole thing though, if you say I'm not going to serve a black person, a white person, anything, he's going to come after you and want you to condemn this. Seems like to me he just said, I'm not for the Civil Rights Act. Andy?
Yeah, I just saw Sharkeetha pull up in her Altima, and I don't want her in my store. Joe Walsh, can you help me remove her?
JC says, refer to the 10th Amendment Center. If private business and local governments refuse to comply with this shit, none of them, the plandemic would be possible. Yeah, I get it. And
shout
by the way,
Michael Bolden.
Yeah, Michael Bolden. Center. Exactly. Who else is there? Anyway, it doesn't matter. I totally agree. So we can talk about this, but this is where, once again, I think he's full of crap, because it's only where his narrow, and this is where not being politically consistent causes a problem. That he's only thinking one thing, which is, how do I get them out of my business for not wearing a mask and to impose wokeism on them? But it's not, he doesn't want to then say, I don't want to bake a cake for a gay person or whatever else. He's not okay with that, I imagine.
I would 100% agree.
I want you to tell me what the Mises Caucus's end game is. And again, if
it's not really.
No. What I shouldn't say end game. Don't raise your voice at me. What is the vision? And
I think we should talk about what my vision is, because I haven't served on the Mises Caucus board for over a year now.
Yeah, but you. Okay, explain that to me.
I think that's a fair thing for you to let me in.
Well, no, okay, but I need a point of clarification. You're the chairperson of the party.
Correct.
The Mises Caucus put you into that position. The Mises Caucus
that's correct.
Runs.
They helped get me elected.
They control the entire 25 member or whatever.
No, that's not true. That's not true. There's probably at least 4 members on there who are not caucus aligned, but there are members who have never been, there are people in the LNC who've never been members of the caucus.
Were you caucus aligned?
I was on the national board of the caucus. I was the California state organizer. I chaired the California PAC. I was very aligned.
So then you speak for the Mises Caucus.
Nope. I do not at this point.
You're the chairwoman of the party and you're part of the caucus.
They're also politically savvy. Political action committee. So you're not going to catch me on record at any time saying I speak for the caucus. And that's why. I have very clear delineated responsibilities on my end now. I want to carry out their vision because I believe in it, but I don't
speak
for them.
Okay, then I'll let you do that. And I'm just going to get in one more little jab, and then I'm going to lead you to, you can lead us into your vision. Your vision. And you just said you're going to speak for the Mises Caucus's vision. You've acknowledged that as of right now, the party is hurting both financially and membership. You're hemorrhaging both. I don't know if you have, Angela, but people in the Mises Caucus have publicly acknowledged that it's a deliberate tactic to try to make the Libertarian Party as bad as possible for certain libertarians. And if people are disgusted, they can just leave. We don't care. What is your vision in this situation now for the party?
That was
for
the Mises Caucus, right?
We are on the cusp of a really good
Patriot Mobile,
internal turnaround. We've got our technological issues mostly sorted out. We've got staffing and infrastructure sorted out. We have a really good ballot access symposium coming up in Washington, D.C. at the Washington Hilton August 19th. We've invited members of the Green Party, the Constitution Party, independent candidate from LaRouche to come and speak at our symposium. It's at 7:00. We're working together. We're forming so many issue coalitions across the country. And as tribalized as everything is and as ugly as it might be on Twitter, we have found the sweet spot and way to bring people together. And we're going to continue to do that. We're going to be working with some really incredible organizations to start ballot harvesting in a couple of key states. We're working to expand membership in a couple of key states through initiatives with, minority people, heaven forbid, we've got another rally in the works, Defeat the Deep State. That's going to be President's Day weekend at the Lincoln Memorial. I'm super excited about that. We have 3 different tracks of candidate trainings that are going to be starting in September.
Defeat the Deep State just seems like... Here's that, the guy that just got shot in Utah. That's what you're planning. Anybody that shows up there is just going to get shot.
Activate the Boomer Waffen. That's what it
should be. Some of that's going to be coming from the Western Liberty Network. Some of it's going to be coming from United Independence. And some of them are going to become libertarian masterclasses. My objective from here on out is to become as strong as we can, equip our candidates as best as possible to enter into the 2024 election, come out swinging with really good PR. You can catch an article from The Hill that I got quoted on today about the Trump indictment, and get ready to support our candidate for the 2024 presidential election. And I hope it's Donald Trump, because that is going to put us in the best position possible to get the highest vote percentage, because I think so many people are disillusioned and burned out by him. So for anybody out there who's listening who thinks Joe maybe is a little overboard, with his criticism of us, I recommend that you get interested in the Libertarian Party. It's lp.org. Visit it. We've got a bunch of awesome stuff coming up, and I'm excited to lead it.
Angela, if you and I sit down in 6 months, it's what is it now? It's the beginning of August. Let's say you and I sat down in February of 2024. What would be concrete signs of success that you would want to point to?
Improvements in ballot access and candidates. Membership. You could say that. You could say an increase in membership. That's going to happen indefinitely.
Where did she
that's,
go? He faded her
in
out.
October, actually.
Is that how you treat women?
Oh no, it happens every other year. Well, yeah, it happens every other year. We have a cycle.
It seemed to go down.
Depends on regional status. There's a whole lot of behind the scenes stuff that you're not privy to that is not like exciting.
If Angela, if your membership next February is still on the same nosedive,
that'll be a problem. Yeah.
That will be a failure. If your finances continue to go down, that will be a problem. What in the year and a half that the Mises Caucus has controlled the party, what mistakes have you and the caucus made?
There are definitely things that I would do differently.
Yeah,
I would have gotten us board governance training a little bit sooner.
I think he just stops here all of a sudden.
I have gotten us board governance training since. I would have made, people's heads are going to explode when I say this, I would have made some different staffing decisions.
Holy shit, my head.
There were things that I felt rushed to do. There are things that you learn in hindsight. It's very difficult, by the way, to staff a political organization because everybody has their own version of what they think should be happening and everyone's doing a lot of political maneuvering. And I don't say that to disparage staff. It's a really tough job. It's really hard to work at the LP. I think I would have actually been more involved in staff to make sure that we had a really good culture and also to spend more money on them so that they get all the tools that they need. So much of this stuff is just boring internal stuff.
That's all good, boring, internal, important stuff. Do you want to make any changes in your messaging? Do you feel like you need to?
No.
Yeah, I think we are going to make some changes going into 2024. I think we're going to be talking a little bit more about solutions.
Okay.
Solutionaries, what's up? We got to give more black people guns.
I think we're also going to have some more white pills, as Michael Malice would say, solutions.
Did you say Michael Malice?
He was
an interesting guy. I had him on the podcast 7 or 8 months ago. Do you feel like there are problems with the messaging that LP puts out?
Are you asking me to critique my own organization publicly and throw my volunteers under the
bus? God, Angela, come on.
I'm not going to do it.
Is there a...
Afraid? No. Political? Yes. I am good at what I do and want to keep my guys happy.
Angela McArdle is her name. She's the chairwoman of the Libertarian Party, the National Libertarian Party.
Is he white? We don't know. He doesn't act like it. Pull up the Wide Awakes thing because I got to wrap soon and I think that's interesting.
Okay.
People might enjoy that.
Hang on. Let me see here.
And we need to do another show about black libertarian grifters.
There's this thing. I don't know why. See, there. That's the appropriate one. White.
That was interesting. It was not. I hadn't listened to Angela much. Like get pushback from like regime operative like that or an apparatchik.
Yeah.
You know, Joe is really trying to sell me on the Mises Caucus, and then Angela at points is really trying to not sell me the Mises Caucus or being a member of the Libertarian Party. So I'm still caught between the rock and the hard place, but. This
I don't know if you can read that, if you can see that.
Can you zoom in, control, and scroll up on your mouse?
So hang on. I have to do it this way. How's that?
Correct. All right. The Wide Awake, go down a couple hairs.
How's that?
The Wide Awakes was a Republican youth organization.
Nazi.
Just like Antifa and radical Republicans from the 1800s. If you know anything about Lincoln, this will interest you. The Wide Awakes were a youth organization and later a paramilitary organization cultivated by the Republican Party during the 1860 presidential election in the United States. They used popular social events, George Floyd, and ethos of competitive fraternity and promotional comic books to introduce many to political participation and proclaim themselves as the newfound voice of younger voters. The structured militant Wide Awakes appealed to a generation which had been profoundly shaken by the partisan instability of the 1850s and offered young Northerners a much-needed political identity. They stage dramatic rallies in the streets of northern cities under the banner of free speech, free soil, free men. Yep. To whip up enthusiasm for the nascent Republican Party and its nominee for president, Abraham Lincoln. The Wyatt awakes the Wokes' success in rallying the Republican Party behind Buckingham and promoting an anti-slavery platform quickly spread to the wider efforts to elect the old commoner, in quotes, Abraham Lincoln, to the presidency of the United States. So this is pretty fascinating stuff. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. I would recommend, you know, if you're interested in the history shit,
look. I've never heard of that. That's like the original brown shirts.
Yeah. I mean, it was America's brown shirts, similar. Yeah. I mean, that's what the Wokes are now.
So we'll get out of here. I thought JC had a good point. That abrupt ending with Tower Gang tier. It was. That's why he likes my long intros. Good thing none of that still existed. Yeah, exactly.
Do you like Joe Walsh more or less after that interview?
I didn't know much about him, so I like him less. He's your like you said, it's a Marxist struggle session, and he's fully on board. He left the Republican Party. He was a Republican congressman. He left. He's a typical run of the mill Lincoln Brigade or whatever those people are. And then I don't know if he's part of that group, but that's what I see him
as. Oh, he's probably definitely a Lincolnite. You know what?
The Lincoln Project or whatever that is.
Yeah, same shit. Everybody who worships Lincoln and the Republicans will not distance themselves from him.
Right.
You know, I'm torn because I know what to expect with those types. I was somewhat disappointed in Angela. She definitely had some high points and some mic drop moments, but I wanted her to go on the offensive way more instead of just like being back like, whoa, I'm not racist. We welcome the gays. Like, that shit bothers me. It's just like, why don't you lean into it and just piss this faggot off?
Yeah, I guess so. You can do that when he interviews you. That'll be good. Last thing I would like to say is, he mentioned George Floyd in there, or you did, one of you two. I think George Floyd
is seeing double.
What?
Are you seeing double one of us too?
You are Joe Walsh. You're similar. Someone mentioned George Floyd. I think he is just my quick take on that. I know there's been heated debate and Clint had a thing with Maj. I thought it was boring. I think George Floyd is the Kaepernick of a issue, which is you're picking the worst. I mean, this Utah guy just gets killed. You have Duncan Lemp out there. You have a bunch of other ones. You pick them. George Floyd was a horrible person. And then a horrible thing happens to him, whether you like it or not. I don't think it's a great thing. But you're picking the wrong thing to really make the big issue over. Just like Kaepernick. He's like, I'm against police brutality, but look at the shirt of Castro. You don't make sense. He's a horrible candidate. Don't have him. Don't have George Floyd as the one you hold up. That's my point on that.
Yeah. My final thoughts on that, and we should do something breaking down like Jeff Charles and Maj Ture's fucking takes on it when we get a chance.
Did you just hear him on Keith Knight?
Jeff Charles?
Yeah.
No, but he sucks, and I do not like him at all.
I know.
But my thing is, I mean, this is just revealed preference to me. Like, obviously, these guys are going to stick up for the criminal guy because he's black, and that's simply it. It's like, oh, worship at the altar of black people, and Maj is like pushing libertarians, the LP, to like vie for black votes, and it's like, bro, do you think libertarians should give a half a piss about democracy? And I understand, like, from a party perspective, yes, in some ways, but also, like, you're never gonna have a big enough candy jar, as Brian McClanahan says. You know, you can't promise them more Gibbs. Like, the Democrat Party is always going to give them more than what you can offer them.
Yeah, they're the Santa Claus Party. I disagree with you about giving a piss, because I think the the Libertarian Party is really big on golden showers. So they giving and taking.
That's for babies, though, not for adults.
Okay. Yeah. Andy, tell us who you are and where we'll see you next.
Follow me at Tom Woods Liberty Classroom. Be sure to sign up. You know, it's fairly inexpensive. I know a lot of libertarians are broke. I don't know how you ended up here. If you're watching this, I hate you, and have a good night.
All right. I'm Tyler Yonke. Follow us. Check out all our shows. Just push us. Go to Fox & Sons. Buy some coffee. Hit review in there. Enjoy that. Go to Rumble, LPR. It's right there. Just subscribe to us. It's kind of the no one interacts over there, but we get views. So I don't understand. It might be bot related. It might
be. If you buy some coffee, I will grind it up and stick it in something that Emma drinks against her will. So
I never want to hear you talk about grinding again, but that's the way we have it. All right, everybody. Thank you, and we will see you next time. Bye. Later. Say bye, Andy.
Things are going to start happening to me now.
Okay, I'm leaving now. Bye, guys.
But she's back.
And now.
Chick-fil-A is completely overrated. It's not that good. I prefer Zaxby's. I prefer Popeyes.
Takes a tough man to make a tender forecast, Nick. I guess that's me. Keep plucking that chicken.
Should I vote for Dick Cheney on the Libertarian Party? Do I have an obligation to vote for Dick Cheney?
I would say so.
Yes.
Well, did it work for those people?
No, it never does. I mean, these people somehow delude themselves into thinking it might, but it might work for us.
That one dude was like, not a podcast, I can't find it anywhere, and they don't have video.
Oh, yeah, Peter Janky, yeah.
Yeah, I blocked him.
I'll do it. If he unblocks me, I'll...
He'll buy your shirt if you unblock him, Bert.
He's a wigger.
Yeah, nothing cooler than so a 49-year-old wigger. Like,
I just started live streaming. Cut me some slack. I'm pretty high-tech for a boomer. But anyways...
Boomer.